Ekološki magazin Radio Kotora.
Eko kutak.
This is special edition of environmental magazine of Radio Kotor, Eco Corner.
Eko kutak. Od uvijek je sve kad bilo, ali se sve brzo mijenja.
Smo postali prijetnja.
Eko kutak.
The best young reporters for the environment who won at the national competitions in 10 countries during the second year of the Litter Less campaign gathered in Stockholm from 23rd to 27th January 2014 on the second environmental mission organized by Foundation for the Environmental Education and Wrigley Company Foundation. 65 students, 26 teachers and national coordinators from Canada, France, Germany, Kazakhstan, Latvia, Macedonia, Malta, Montenegro, Romania and Slovakia had the opportunity to participate for 5 days in several workshops on how to prepare an environmental articles, photo stories and videos, to prepare through teamwork reviews on 10 environmental issues and problems in the capital of Sweden, and to attend the lectures of environmental activists from the host country. All participants were welcomed by the summit's host, Anna Norman, director of YRE program, and Daniel Schaffer, CEO of FEE.
So I want to thank, first of all, the Wrigley Company Foundation that allowed us to be here. I think they've supported the Littlest Project for some time. Well, I think the YRE is a fantastic program. And I don't know if you know anything about FEE, but we have 5 programs in our organization. And I think the one that touches me the most is YRE. And the reason that I feel it's the most important program or the most special program is because it gives young people the most freedom to express themselves and to learn about the environment in a free and personal way. And I think that's a key for the beauty of this program. And I think it's your job as young people to take care of your future. I'm looking at you here as ambassadors of this young generation and of the people that will be here after us, which will be your children and your grandchildren. And I know this sounds a little high or bizarre or a cliche, but that's the truth. We've messed it up. We've done a lot of bad things to our world. And we might not be here to feel it, but you will. And it's your responsibility to see what you can do to fix it. We've become a very cynical society. We don't believe what we're told, or what we're told, we kind of look at it. We've become a cynical bunch of people. In order for the journalists to be able to pass the message properly, they have to do their job properly. And that means that they have to check all the angles of a story, all the stakeholders that are involved in a story, how it affects everybody. Try and have your stories based on truth and on real data. And if journalists will do this, and if you will do this, people will check what you're saying and they'll see that what you're saying is true and they'll take you seriously. That would be my message. I want to thank you all for being here, and I want to hope that you will continue this, that this will not be this little phase of a program, but this will be something that will affect your lives and your outlook on life and on your responsibility towards our environment, our world, and our children.
The attendants were addressed by Amin Ahlavi, a member of the board of directors of the FEE and president of the International Jury of Competitions, Young Reporters for the Environment, and Litter Less.
And I'm really happy and really glad to attend this kind of event, because I'm used to have meetings with adults, with the teachers, with the responsibles, with the coordinators and so on. And I'm glad to be this time with the young reporters, and I'm really happy for that. Only one key word more than all the things said by Daniel. This is one of the keywords of the program of the Young Reporters of the Environment, is just to learn from our differences, which is really important. Our differences come in from our cultures, the difference coming from our visions, and the difference coming from our missions and coming from our approaches. And this is the spirit of FI, is how to combine these cultures and how to learn from each other and how to change our best practices, our experiences and so on, to develop this beautiful program and to reach the objective all over the world. You are the ambassadors of this program, and I thank you for that first. And please learn from each other, change your knowledge, change your best practices, and try, of course, also to have fun during your stay here in Sweden. The last year, I had the privilege to chair the international jury, and me and all the other members, I can confess, were really impressed by the quality of the reports, by the quality of the photographs and the quality of videos submitted by all the countries member of this beautiful program. And during the discussion we discussed, and we would love to see the winners working together somewhere in the world. And I'm really glad to see that happened actually. And thank you for that.
Eko kutak.
During the environmental mission, participants had the opportunity to learn about the experience of Sweden in waste treatment, and it is interesting that the Swedes are still not satisfied with the level of recycling, even though they are among the best in Europe. Mari Andersson from the regional company for waste treatment, SORAB, which annually educates 250 children and youth groups on these topics, spoke about this.
SORAB is a local waste company in Sweden, and I'll try to guide you very briefly through Swedish waste handling. Every year in Sweden, everyone produces around 460 kilos of domestic waste. Around 3% of them is food waste that we sort out for biological treatment, for making soil, biogas and fertilizer. Somewhere around 15% is packaging, also sorted out for recycling, and that contains cardboard, glass, plastic and so on. Bulky waste, the things you can't put in your trash can, the large things, around 34%. The main part though, 48%, is the mixed waste that we send for combustion, energy recovery. And we recover energy in form of electricity and in form of heating. This, the unsorted waste, the rest of it, the combustible waste. We find still somewhere around 20 to 25% of packagings that could have been recycled instead of being burned. And we also find that around 40 to 50% is food waste that we could have had treated biological, and now we just incinerate it, and that's not good. There we have a lot more work to do in this area. When we like to reduce the amount of combustible waste in Sweden so we can recycle even more. The last thing I want to introduce to you is our Eco Park. This park is built on the top of old closed landfill, and we're really proud of it. And I hope that someday you'll come back to Sweden and have the time to come and visit us and our Eco Parks and look at our old landfill.
Caroline Patterson, one of the founders of the lifestyle magazine Camino, presented stories from previous issues of the magazine founded in 2007 and which deal with the sustainable future. One of them is about the idea of establishing a clothing library.
My last example comes from Stockholm, Sweden. These girls are called Lina, I think, and the girl to the right, I don't know, is Emily. I've met her several times. A few years ago, they decided they wanted to start a clothing library. It's basically a place where you can go, like where you go for books. Instead of buying your clothes, you go there and rent what you need. And the idea is that there's so many clothes that we buy that we actually maybe just use them twice or maybe for one party. So why should we actually own them ourselves? You pay for a membership, maybe about 400 crowns for a year. So then you're a member, then you're allowed to borrow a certain number of items each week. And you're only allowed to keep it for a certain period, and you're not allowed to buy it afterwards. You always have to let go. And this is also an interesting idea, that you don't have to keep everything. It's something that you have for a while and then you bring it back. We should think a bit more like that when it comes to the environment, that you don't have to own it, we just renting it. This was the first one, started in Stockholm, but it's spread a lot all over the Sweden. But that's something that I really believe in, and I think we will see more and more of. Also, big companies probably will copy this idea in the future.
Mladí reportéri pre životné prostredie.
Mladí ekoreportéri.
Tiner reporter pentru mediul înconjurător.
They investigate a local environmental problem.
Gohebor Ivang, Aurorom Galhed.
Jeune reporter pour l'environnement.
Jas reporterler, Korshahan Ortanunnan.
They propose possible solutions.
Scholen voor duurzaamheid.
Nee, dimosiografie για το περιβάλλον.
Chemenin gençsözcüleri.
They report on a local environmental issue.
Молодые репортеры для окружающей среды.
Журналисты Зара Ламбиент.
They are young reporters for the environment. International Youth Network, coordinated by Foundation for Environmental Education.
Eko-kutak.
One of the things by which this second mission will be remembered is motivational speeches of two environmental activists. Annika Hagberg from the organization Push Sweden inspiringly told the young reporters for the environment that they are kind of heroes of today.
Why do we have idols and heroes? It's because they do cool stuff. They do good things, right? You look up to someone who does good stuff and does cool things and is a good person. That's someone you look up to and who inspires you. That's where you want to go. And that's also how you push people at doing good things.
You do whatever little thing you can. And you do other stuff, but in your head, you keep at it. And that's what makes you heroes already. So when you go back, Google your country, whatever, try to find a youth organization. Go there and tell them what the YRE are doing and what you're doing and how fascinatingly cool you are. And tell them that you are heroes and they can be heroes too. So do remember, don't forget, you are here today. You've done stuff to end up here today. And if you feel like it, if you have the energy and passion and you feel well and you take care of yourselves, you can do even more. A little or a lot, doesn't matter. Everything counts. And as a final point, don't give up.
Sven Heibel of Global Focus organization studied climate changes among polar bears in the Arctic and traveled the world filming a documentary about human happiness.
We're going to talk about change, changing the world. And we're also going to practice something that I believe too few people practice. Something that is really, really, really important when changing the world, and it's dreaming. Maybe my greatest point today is the story that we need to think about right now. This is a story that hasn't been told. Most of the world's media, most of the world's researchers, they focus on what is and what has been. And they report stories of the world around us right now, what's wrong, what's good, but as the world is today, we have such a great need for positive visions for the world that we want to have. As I said, when you have a vision, you feel the energy and the direction. And as a society, as a culture, we need that. So as young journalists of the world, I encourage you to tell this story.
Eko-kutak.
At the end of mission, it was organized presentation of all prepared articles, photo stories and videos made by each of 10 investigation teams.
Our mission is to find out whether the exposure of ingredients within products and toys have a large amount of or a higher number of ingredients added into the, I guess, the production of toys and also fertilizing fruits and all that stuff. So our mission is to find out whether if it's appropriate to indicate a signage or anything that for the customers to know what they're actually buying, whether produce is over, I guess, fertilized and or their toys being overly contaminated with plastic, which is PVC. So through our interviews and all that stuff, we found that the ICA's customers actually rely with their with the market. ICA's vision is actually to strive for sustainability within their produce and all that stuff. So we realized that customers really, really believe in ICA's motive and trust them that anything they put out in the market is for them to, is safe enough for them to take home to their kids and family. But we realized there's other alternatives that interviewers told us. They told us that some of them try to avoid it, so they try to use local markets, which is another great idea too, because if you think about it, if you were to buy something in a local market near your house, you're saving time getting there, and you're reducing CO2. And also choosing a local food grocery store, also you'll get a better produce. In terms of passing the fertilization and also the chemical that's going onto your fruits and toys. And yeah, that's our investigation, and we've realized that Swedish people really rely on ICA's market.
Before I start, I just wanted to ask a question. Who in this room has had a burger in their lifetime? Raise up your hand. And who in here has ever thought about the effects of the environment, the effects of the burger that you ate and the environment? Okay, so like a couple of hands. So basically, Route 10, our project was to explore the effects of eating a burger in the environment, and we produced a short 2-minute video, I think. And well, when we were doing this, we divided our team into three smaller groups. So we had a Burger King group, we had a McDonald's group, and we had another group who went to Max. And Max is a restaurant here in Sweden that is actually producing their burgers in a really efficient carbon. Like they don't produce their burgers with as much as carbon emissions as the other restaurants like McDonald's and Burger King. So in our video, we interviewed people and we asked them, what kind of burgers would you prefer? Would you prefer an environmentally friendly burger or a tastier burger? And it was like a 50-50, but there were a lot of people who we talked about and they said that they would actually think about the environment. And while we were interviewing people, we actually came across a vegetarian. So that was like an interesting part of our project. And yeah, like throughout our project, we just learned about the effects of eating a burger in our environment, how it produces methane, carbon dioxide, and like manufacturing the burger. So I hope that our video will inspire you guys to think about your choices when you're buying meals, like not just burgers necessarily. And our group really worked really, really hard on it, especially Stefan, who edited our video. And we had a wonderful, hardworking group. And yeah, so enjoy our video.
Eko-kutak.
In addition to lectures and practical workshops, there was time for screening of the Swedish documentary Bananas and visit to the Museum of Photography as well, Skansen, the world's oldest open-air museum, which on 30 hectares in the heart of Stockholm presents the rich ethnographic heritage of Sweden. During the 5-day gathering, many friendships of young people from 10 countries were made, which will certainly be continued through the social network until the third environmental mission within the Little Less campaign of the Foundation for Environmental Education and the Wrigley Company Foundation, when a total of 15 countries will participate. prepared by Sasha Karajovic, editor of environmental magazine Eco Corner.
Eco Kutak.